Okay. This evening, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching a message called Remembering Restrains Rejection. Remembering Restrains Rejection. We'll see how, through this passage that God has given me, what this title, or it'll explain this title in a little bit. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. And let's specifically look at verse 21, okay? Romans 1, 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Okay, so this, we know in this passage what happens. To these people, later in the passage, it describes them, how they give themselves over to things that are unseemly, and many other things, and it says professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's many things it talks about through this passage, what happened to them, but we want to stick primarily to verse 21 here. I'm just going to go through this verse. We see that it starts with, because that when they knew God. These people, that says they knew God, so these weren't, I imagine, I'm not totally sure, but I imagine these people probably were saved people. It says they knew God. So these aren't probably people from the world. These are people that, maybe some people like us, that they did good, they did right, and they knew God. So we see, right after it says they knew God, it says they glorified him not as God. And I thought that was very, very interesting. I've read this passage before, and it's just, I saw it in a different way this past time I read it. It says they glorified him not as God. And then it says neither were thankful. So these people, they knew who God was, but they didn't, they didn't put him into that position. They said, you know, they didn't, it says, they glorified him not as God. They looked at God and they said, you know, we're not going to glorify you. We're not going to praise you. It says, and they weren't, and neither were thankful. These people weren't thankful people. And we see the result of it is, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, so now when we think of this, what happened to them, it says their foolish heart was darkened. So we can think of the heart in two ways, sort of. The first thing I can think of is spiritually, we think of the heart as, you know, is it right with God? Are we, do we have our motives right, you know, with our heart? But then you can look on the flip side. Our heart is a physical organ. And one thing when I think of the heart, a heart pumps blood, and I would say it's the center of human life that God has given us, the organ that God has given us to be able to live. And so we see that whether it's both physically and spiritually, their foolish, it says their hearts were darkened. So it has an idea of their inward hearts, who they were darkened, but then also their outward, even their physical, showed that. And then, it says their foolish hearts were darkened. And now, why did this happen? We see, we just looked at, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So tonight, I'd like to just look at what happens when we're not thankful. Now, I know our church theme this year is thankfulness, and I wasn't really planning on preaching on thankfulness, but God brought this passage to me, and I thought he showed me that he would have me preach it. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Let's go to Psalms 106. This is where we're going to be spending our time tonight. Psalm 106. Okay, so Psalm 106 is, of course, David's writing this, but it sort of has is talking about the Israelites and some things that happened. It's going back, you know, sort of looking back at Exodus, and we see some different things talking about the Israelites and some things that God did for them and with them. So tonight, we're going to read a couple verses here, several. We're going to read, start in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 14. So let's just pay attention to this. There's a lot in here. It's a lot of verses. But let's just see what it says here. Okay, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his power, mighty power, to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated him, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Then they soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Okay, so this passage, as we see, goes through, I guess, the whole thing summarized. We see how these people forgot God. So we're going to look at that. So let's go to verse 13. We see in verse 13 it says, they soon forgot his works. So I'd like to see number one tonight is they remembered not God. They remembered not God. So we see in the beginning of this passage, they remembered, or they forgot two things. They forgot, first of all, the character of God. And we want, David here gives some different examples of who God was, the character of God. We want to see in verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. This we see here that God is good. Psalms 136, 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Isn't that such a blessing that God is good? And it's not that God is good. Everything that comes from him is good. That's really neat for me to see. What else? In end of verse 1, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. Here's another thing they forgot. His mercy endureth forever. We can be thankful that his mercy never fails. When we sin, he is always going to give that mercy and forgive us. Let's go to verse 8. It says, in the end of verse 8, it says, that he might make his mighty power to be known. They forgot his mighty power. God did many things for the Israelites, and they forgot it. And we see in Psalms 151, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. God has amazing power that can move mountains. Things that seem impossible are possible with God. God has power more than we can even imagine. So we see here, those were the three examples that are in this passage that God gave, or David put in the Word of God, who God was. But I'd like to see if anybody else would like to say some things that who God is. Anybody want to just give some different things of the character of God?
He's our guide.
Definitely, he's our guide, yes.
Our Heavenly Father.
Yes, definitely, yep.
Our provider.
Provides, yeah.
Healer.
Healer, Logan.
Yep,
definitely loving. Okay, so we could go on for a long time with, you know, who God is, because he is everything that we need. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that we could go over. We don't have the time tonight to see that. But we just like to, I just like to say, I want to, you know, praise the Lord that back then with the Israelites, God is the same God as he was to them as he is to us. He is the same and is never changing. He will be the same God to you as he was to the Israelites. He is good and will always be good. He was merciful and he will always be merciful. He was powerful and will always be powerful. He was and is and will never change, for he is still the same. Isn't that really neat to see that? God never changes. We can trust in him, and we know for a fact that he will never change. So they forgot who God was, but they also forgot the acts of God. So first of all, we saw the character of God, now the acts of God. And so there's a couple little things he gives in here. Let's go to verse 7. It says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt." They forgot thy wonders in Egypt. Now we know that God did a lot of things for the Egyptians while they're, for the Israelites while they're in Egypt. And so many miracles. We think of especially how he helped them within the Exodus as they traveled out of Egypt. We think of even before that with the plagues, 10 plagues. I mean, can you imagine? If you really put yourself into those situations with, you know, let's say a frog's coming or something. Like, I mean, can you imagine just thousands of frogs jumping around trying to make your supper and one jumps in? I don't know. There's just, you put yourself into those situations, it's sort of funny. But God did all those things to work in Pharaoh's heart so that he could bring all those Israelites out into the promised land. So, first of all, they forgot his wonders in Egypt. We see also in verse 7, in the end of verse 7, it says, "But provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea." God led them through the Red Sea, and that would have been an amazing thing to see this happen, you know, the waters going up and walking on dry land. They forgot that. In verse 9, it says, in the end of verse 9, it says, "He led them through the depths as through the wilderness." So this reminds us of the wilderness, the 40 years that they traveled. And all these things that God did for them, they forgot. They did not remember what God had done for them. In Deuteronomy 8:2 it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." So it's sort of interesting here. You know, God led them through the wilderness, but God was doing more than just leading them through the wilderness. This verse, it says, he did that to humble thee and to prove thee. And it's neat that God brings situations in our lives not just to take us to the next spot he has for us, but he also does that to teach us and grow us closer to him. God brings us trials to help bring us to him. Life is a journey, and he takes us places, but he also teaches us things through those, if you want to call, wilderness wanderings in our lives. So, as we think about the Israelites and how they forgot, and I was thinking about this, you know, how did they forget? Some of those things we think about, I mean, we didn't go through them, but we definitely see in the scripture about them, and they can make an influence in our lives, like, wow, look at what God did. But what are we doing to remember what God has done for us? I just want to think about, what are we remembering? What are we sharing with other people? Do we take time? Sometimes, you're not sure what to say, but do we take that time to go up to someone and just share? It can be something even really small. There's so many things that God does for us that sometimes we take for granted or we don't even realize. And so do we take that time to share with someone? Do we take that time to remember? I think about that little journal we got the beginning of this year. We all got to be able to write things that God did for us. You know, are we writing in that journal, or have we forgotten it? I know for me, it's a helpful reminder to be able to write things down. God does something, write it down in that book. And it's really neat to go back and read some things, and things that you would have totally forgotten that we can be brought back and say, wow, look at what God did for me in the past. We see in Psalms 35:18, it says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Now, obviously, some of us, we're not going to be in front of huge crowds, we're not going to be, it says, in great congregation or among much people, but God tells us to praise him among much people. So we need to be taking that opportunity that God has given us to be able to share what he has done for us. Another thing I thought of was, do we sing? Now, some of us, we enjoy singing, but singing is a good opportunity for us to be able to praise God. And do we have a joyful noise as we go throughout the day? There can be some maybe tough things that are going on, and that's about the last thing you feel like doing is singing. But God says, the Bible says in Psalm 104:33, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And just thinking about that, that's another way we can remember what God has done. We know that songs are not the Bible, but we know that in songs there's a lot of good truths that we can sing about and remember about who God is. I'm reminded of my great grandpa in Wyoming. I don't know him too well, but there is one thing that I do remember about him. He always was whistling, and that made a big impression on me. That I'm sure there was some tough times that he went through, but he always had a tune on his mouth, a tune on his lips, and he was always singing. And just thinking about that, are we praising God? So what are we doing to remember who God is and what he has done? Number two, let's go to, still in verse 13, we see, in the end of verse 13 says, they waited not for his counsel. So I'd like to, number two is, they rejected God. So first of all, they remembered not God, but now they rejected God. And it says they waited not for his counsel. And we see here that God had a plan for them. God had certain things in mind for them, but they didn't want his counsel. They said, we don't want your counsel. We want to do what we want to do. And they had their own time, their own way, that they wanted what they wanted. They were not really asked. They did not want to ask God what they wanted. They just wanted permission to what they wanted to do. In Jeremiah 42, let's open to Jeremiah 42 quickly. We'd just like to see this illustration, really good illustration here from Jeremiah 42. And Jeremiah 42 is, the context here is, it's talking about Jerusalem, And they're in the middle of an 18-month siege under Babylon. So they're in this siege, and at the end of the 18 months, Babylon captured the city. They took King Hezekiah, I believe, or Zedekiah, I'm sorry. They took him, and they carried him off. And then the rest of the people in Jerusalem, they either captured or killed them. But there are a few people that remained in the city. I'm not sure how many. It seems like there's still a little group there. But they remained in the city. Now I'd like to see in Jeremiah 42. Let's read some verses here and just see what's going on. So let's start in verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces and Jehonan the son of Kareah and Jezaniah the son of Hoshea and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee and pray for us unto the Lord thy God even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us. If we do not, even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord. let's go to Jeremiah 43 in verse 1, and let's see what happens here. So the people in verse 42, the rest of them, they wanted to leave the city of Jerusalem, and they asked Jeremiah, can you go to the Lord and see what you have for us? And in verse 6, it said, you know, we will obey the voice of the Lord. So let's see what happens in chapter 43. Start in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for whom the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah the son of Hosheiah, and Jehonan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee out against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captive into Babylon. So Jehonan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains and the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Jehonan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took out all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. So we see here, in chapter 42, we see that it seemed like they had good intentions. They wanted to know what God wanted them to do. But we see in chapter 43 that right away they said that you're not right. You're trying to destroy us. And it's the same thing that the Israelites were trying to do, is they asked God, what do you have for us? And I believe that they weren't really asking God what they wanted. They just wanted to see if the Lord would be on their side. And if the Lord would be on their side, they would be happy. But if the Lord wasn't on their side, they decided, we're going to disobey and go against. They didn't really want to see God. They rejected God. So let's go back. We'll be back in Psalms 106. They had already made up their minds what they were going to do. They did not go to the Lord for advice or counsel. It was also an act of disobedience. It was not only that they didn't really want to see what God had for them, they were also going to disobey it if it was something against what they wanted. They had what they wanted, and they weren't at the point of submission to God. They wanted to do their own thing no matter what it took. And so we see that they rejected God. I just want to think about us, you know, for a second. I would say that as a whole, I definitely wouldn't say I reject God. You know, I love the Lord, and I believe we would all say that. We love the Lord, and we want to seek the Lord, but sometimes in certain circumstances, do we think we know our own what we want, and do we think that when we get an answer from God and we think it's not what we want, do we think that we know better? And sometimes we don't even go to God. Sometimes we just decide to make a decision because that's what we want. And in a way, we're rejecting God. We wouldn't say we are, but we're taking a step and saying, you know, I'm going to just do what I want to do, and I'm going to not seek what God has me to do. We know that God will always do the best for us. And when we try to do our own way, especially when we know what God has for us and we're not doing that, then it's only going to be destruction for ourselves, because God has the best for us. And when we don't obey that, we're not going to be in His best. So let's remember to never forget God as we make decisions. Let's never always remember that our way is not better. We always should be trusting God and what He has for us. Okay, let's go to verse 14. Beginning of verse 14, it says, "But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness." So number three, I'd like to call, they replaced God. So now they replaced God. They wanted other things to satisfy them. They not only remembered Him, they rejected Him. Now they replaced Him. They wanted things for themselves. I'm not sure exactly, you know, we don't know exactly what they were lusting after, but it could be anything, just as a desire for something. And I just want to think about, they looked right past the only one that could satisfy them for earthly things. You know, we know that earthly things don't satisfy. We know that there's many things out there in this world today that look tempting, that look good. And we know that every single time we go after them, it may not even be a bad thing, but it's not going to satisfy us. After a little bit, we'll want something else, and it's never going to satisfy us. But we do know that that Jesus, our God, our Father, is the one who will satisfy. As we go to Him and have that relationship with Him one-on-one, He will satisfy us with just who He is. And it's not, you know, as we think of even what He does for us, that will satisfy us, the relationship with Him, not other things. You know, there's some things, what do we desire for? We could desire for money, you know, there's nothing wrong with money, but if we're desiring for money, that's not going to satisfy us. We could desire for maybe vehicles, you know, different jobs, houses, properties, maybe different possessions that we're always trying to, you know, get the new this or get the new that. And, you know, it might be nice for a little bit, but that is not what will satisfy. God is the only one that will satisfy. When we only seek and desire Him, we will not be disappointed. Let's see, in the end of verse 14, we want to see they also tempted God in the desert. They tempted God in the desert. So we want to see, number four, they railed against God. And the word railed has an idea of complaining or a persistent, like constantly, persistently complaining The Israelites, in another way, they were testing God. In the language that was written in, it has the idea of testing God. Now, I thought that was sort of interesting. Like, what does it mean to test God? What they were doing is they thought that they knew what was best, and they were testing God. They were going after, they kept, you know, as you, if, when you complain someone to someone, you know, some of us, when someone keeps complaining to us, it's going to start getting on us. And in a way, they're sort of testing us because they want to see what is he going to do to us. And so they were testing God. In Exodus 14:12, it says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." The Egyptians, I don't believe they really wanted to go back to Egypt, but they were trying to blame God for all that they were going through in the wilderness. It was maybe hard sometimes, but God always provided. We know that. You know, they didn't have food, and God provided the quail. They didn't have water. God provided water. But, you know, they were saying, you know, it was better for us just to go serve the Egyptians. And we know in Sunday mornings how we've been going through Exodus, and especially as they were going through that time where they thought they were going to leave, and it didn't happen right away as they thought. And it was really tough for them because Pharaoh was making it harder and harder for them. And if they would have really thought back to what God was giving them right now, and they would have thought back to what they had before, God had the best for them at that point, but I don't believe they really want to go back to Egypt. They were just complaining to God to see what he would do. And I just want to think back to us. Do we ever blame God for things that come into our lives? Do we ever try to test or criticize God? Do we, you know, say things that would not be edifying to one another as far as who God is or what he's doing? Because we know that God works all things for good for us, and some things can be hard. But complaining, that wasn't the answer for them. Complaining, I guess you would say it would be the opposite of thankfulness. They weren't looking at the good that they have. They were looking at the bad that they had. And so let's just think about what do we do in, you know, maybe some hard, difficult circumstances. Are we looking at what God has given us for the good? Or are we looking at what we would say is the bad, and even maybe blaming God? So finally, we want to see here, number 5, we want to see the request and the result. Verse 15, "And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." They sent leanness into their soul. We want to see that they asked, you know, for what they wanted. They, you know, they forgot who God was and what he had done for them. Then they rejected God. Then they even replaced him. And so God said, you know what? I'm not gonna make you do anything. You can choose what you want to do, even though it's not right. God is not going to make us do anything. And God said, you know what? You can have what you want. But we see that they got what they want, but it wasn't good for them. Verse 15 says, "But sent leanness into their soul." And after when I was going through this passage, that little phrase there, it just really stuck out to me that they had done all this, and God had said, okay, you know what? You're going to do all this towards me, then I'll give you what you want, and you can have what you think is best, even though it's not best for you. But it's not going to be, it wasn't good for them. It said he sent leanness into their soul. God never makes us do anything, and that's one thing that I'm thankful for, that God doesn't make us do anything. We have our responsibility to act and to do what we think is best, but that's not always the best thing. We know that if we follow God, then we will be doing the best thing. In the opposite side, it is nice to know that God has given us the opportunity to follow him and serve him. Because when we do take that opportunity and say, yes, we are going to follow God, then that, in another way, is praising God. Because we are looking up to him and we are saying, yes, I'm going to trust you for the best that you have for me, and I am going to obey that. You know, I don't have to, but I'm going to do that because I trust you. And when we do that, you know, we're going to know that we're in God's will. So let's think about this. Sometimes do we try to reason things? Why maybe we need something, or why we think something should happen, or why something shouldn't have happened in our lives? Because, you know, we can oftentimes think we know what's best, but in reality, if God gave us what we wanted and it wasn't his will, then we wouldn't have the best. And sometimes it's hard for us to think we're sure that if we do whatever we want, that we'll be happy, that we'll have the best that what we want. But in reality, we know that as we follow God, we will be in his will, and we will have the best that he has for us. So as we conclude here, we just want to think back to our Romans 1:21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We want to think about this as they started to forget what God did for them and who he was. They started not to see who really God was, because they weren't focusing on that, and it started to drift from their minds, and they didn't start to see him, what he could do for them. And so they said, you know what, he's not very important to us, so let's reject him. And these people, you know, we see, in Romans, you know, it says they knew God. And so these were, it doesn't seem like they were, you know, just people from the world. These were people probably maybe like us, that as they were forgetting who God was, then they rejected him. And then we saw that they replaced God. They said, you know what, we don't even need him anymore. We want our own things. And then finally, they railed against him, and they said, you know what, I'm going to openly speak against him to different people and whatever. And, you know, we see that that digression from what I would have thought before I studied this passage, as, you know, it's good to be thankful, but, you know, what is it going to change in my life as far as where I am spiritually? But God definitely makes it clear in his word that when we're thankful, or when we're not thankful, that we'll start to become farther and farther away from God, as we saw this evening. So, as we saw that, the result was God gave them the request, but sent leanness in their souls. God makes it clear in his word that thankfulness places our dependence on who he is, and he has the power to give and take. When we understand that, we are so overjoyed to think that we have been blessed to have a relationship with Him. We are not focusing on the things that we don't have, but instead everything that we do have and who He is and what He has done. So let's keep in mind tonight that when we fail to remember, we are headed down the path of rejection to a God who has done more than we can even imagine for us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just want to thank You for this evening that You have given us here tonight to open up Your Word. We just want to thank You for that. We just want to pray that we would keep in mind these things that we saw tonight, and pray that we would remember to be thankful. And that through this year, as our theme is thankfulness, that we would continue remembering it, that we would see who You are and find those things that You do for us. So we just want to thank You for this evening. Just please use this passage to continue working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.